Due to the earliness of Easter this year, we have a very shortened Epiphany season, and typically the final week of Epiphany, we recognize the transfiguration of our Lord. So we have chosen to include that in our readings today. We have before us from the Gospel of St. Matthew the final words of Matthew's record of this account, beginning with verse 5 of chapter 17. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud, saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise, and do not be afraid." When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. If he were alive today, Dr. Martin Luther King would love to see the progression of the civil rights movement in the United States. How perceptions have changed since the 1950s and early 60s. To think today that you would have a viable African-American candidate running for president. There are other things that you can look at to show how there has been a progression in that regard. Here's one that may be in some ways less important, but kind of interesting. Back in 1956, when the Ten Commandments movie came out, Cecil B. DeMille chose Charlton Heston to not only play Moses, but also to use his voice as the voice of God. Around the time I was in college, George Burns was used to play the voice of God. And in this day and age, it's been Morgan Freeman, an African-American actor, who's been in 5 movies recently portraying the voice of God. The voice of God. The text before us has God the Father speaking out of the cloud in the heavens to the disciples at this magnificent scene of transfiguration. Whenever a voice speaks, even if it's yours, it carries with it the representation of that individual and the authority that that individual likewise possesses. At the end of political commercials, we're going to be hearing ad nauseum pretty soon, things like, "This is John Edwards, I approve this commercial." And even though you don't see his face possibly in the ad, the voice carries with it and represents everything that he is. And likewise for you, when you leave a phone message for a friend, even though they can't see you and it may be something that's delayed for days until they hear it, it still represents you and all of your authority. We're told in our text, suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." Now, the individuals that the Father is talking to here, these disciples of Christ, are fishermen. They'd probably been through some pretty difficult and challenging things in their lives and witnessed some pretty amazing things. But we're told that upon hearing this voice, they fell on their faces and were terrified. Now, that's a very common response that we find in the Bible. Almost every time that you hear God talking to people from the heavens, when his voice appears out of the heavens and speaks, and when people hear that, we often hear that they are terrified, or they are greatly distressed, or they fall to the ground. This is just a very common response in mankind. Remember when you were a little child and let's say you got in trouble or had done something that was wrong. I have probably a lot more memories of that than you do, but let's say that you got in some trouble or you had not yet been caught, but you knew what you had done was wrong, and suddenly you heard the voice of your mom or dad calling your name, even though they didn't know yet what you had done, you felt inside a pang of conscience, and you were afraid, even though they did not yet know the circumstances. That's interesting, isn't it? That there's something in us that causes that reaction, even before the authority has landed on us with justice. We see this even in Adam at the time of the fall into sin. When God comes to confront him about what he had done wrong, we're told that he was terrified and he ran and he hid. He tried to get away from God, tried to avoid him as best he could. And Adam, prior to that fall into sin, prior to disobeying God, had certainly heard God talking to him. The Lord had brought the animals before him for him to name and so on, gave him commands about the garden, maybe communicated with him on a daily basis. And everything was fine. Nothing troubled him. But all of a sudden, now, even before God has particularly addressed the sin that he's done, he's terrified and he's afraid. The audible sound of God's voice coming to him probably didn't sound any different than before he had disobeyed God. But the difference now was in him, was his guilt inside of his own conscience and his own heart. That's just how it is with us when we were children as well. Sometimes we may wish that, wouldn't it be nice if God just opened up the heavens and talked to us so that we knew exactly what he wanted us to know? Wouldn't that be nice if God just spoke to us? Well, the problem is we couldn't take it. We would be terrified. The problem with that isn't God. It's me. It's you. Our own consciences. We would be squirming and crawling away from that voice of authority. One of the reasons that I'm often very, very skeptical, for a variety of reasons, of those who claim that they have talked to God is this very thing. When I question them about it, you never hear that they're terrified. And that's the response we see in the Scriptures. Martin Luther said about situations like this, for instance, Adam and the disciples here, sinners accuse themselves. Sinners accuse themselves. So why does God the Father, when he speaks to these disciples, why does he direct them to go and listen to his Son, to Christ Jesus? He says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." The Greek word there for hear him has to do with not just audibly listening, but to hear what someone says and take it to heart and follow it. Hear him. So why does the Father direct the disciples to listen to this person of the Trinity who is glowing in front of them in his transfiguration? Well, because in Christ, God has chosen to come into this world of sin not as the great punisher or avenger or deliverer of divine justice upon humanity, but rather has chosen to come as a savior, as a shepherd, as a lover of sinners like us. He is the very Word made flesh. This is the voice that God would like you and me to listen to when we think about him. A voice, the voice of Christ, a voice that is approachable, a voice that's full of love and gentleness and forgiveness and compassion. Hear him, the Father says. Now, that's not a demand for us to obey. That's not a demand for us to, you better fall in line. No, hear him is an invitation for your good, for our benefit, for what's going to be helpful to us. St. Paul says about him, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. This is the one who gave up and set aside everything so you could someday have everything. Hear him. This is the one who became your sin so that you could now be seen as holy. Hear him. This is the one who felt your hell so that you could someday feel his heaven forever. Hear him. This is the very one who you're going to stand in front of on Judgment Day and will open the doors and invite you to come in. Hear him even now. Do you think that this same one who's done all of this for you would lie to you? Do you think he would deceive you? Do you think he would tell you something that would hurt you and harm you in your life or your future? Of course not. Hear him. listen to him. It will absolutely never hurt us to hear the voice of Christ and to follow it. You know, as a pastor, I have counseled many, many people who regret disobeying the voice of Christ, as I will say about myself too. But I have yet to meet somebody who regrets obeying the voice of Christ. Hear him, this invitation from God the Father to hear Christ is not only for our earthly good, but especially, of course, for our eternal good. And think what that'll be like someday, to stand in the presence of God himself, to hear his voice audibly with your own ears. And instead of wanting to drop down to your knees out of fear and trembling, you're going to want to drop down because it's so fantastic, and you are filled with such joy and gratitude in your heart for the fact that by his grace through Christ, he has brought you to that wonderful place. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Amen. And we pray. O God, in the glorious transfiguration of your only begotten Son, you confirm the mysteries of the faith by the testimony of the fathers, and in the voice that came from the bright cloud, you wondrously foreshadowed our adoption by grace. Mercifully make us co-heirs with the King of his glory and bring us to your glorious home in heaven. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.